What's up, Atlanta? It's a Tuesday with Turtle, or knows the deal. We put up the full four with you 6 to 10 weeknights here on 92.9 The Game. And we have, I'll say it, a metric ton to get into tonight. That's a lot of pounds. I'm not exactly sure. We don't do math on this program. But what we do is get you caught up and have in-depth conversations about everything you need to know about the world of Atlanta sports and beyond. And tonight we're going to do just that. The Atlanta Falcons are on their bye week. So we're going to talk plenty of Falcons. Got a Falcons question for you tonight. Joe Patrick's going to join me in his weekly spot at 6:40 like he does every Tuesday. And we're also going to talk about a lot of other things because there's a lot of other things going on here in Atlanta. Last night I was only here with you for an hour doing a bridge show. So there was only one thing to talk about, and that was the Falcons' victory on Sunday over the Commanders. But today, we're going to branch out the conversation a little bit because we haven't talked about the Braves, and rightfully so, in weeks because they've been irrelevant. Let's just face it. It is what it is. We've known for a long time now that this team was not making the playoffs. So we had to just swallow hard and watch them play out the string here in Atlanta. And that's what we did. We watched them play out the string. And ironically enough, almost angrily so, we watched them rip off 10 straight wins before the season was over. Now the question remains, what's going to happen with Snit? What's going to happen with some of the key positions? Do you upgrade at shortstop? Is there an upgrade in the outfield? What do you do with Ozzy? Do you keep him? Do you pick up that option in the offseason? So I reached out to our buddy Grant McCauley. I said, Grant, could you do a season closer for me? And he said, sure. So he's going to join me at the top of next hour. Also, while the Falcons are on their bye, I know all y'all out there have a fantasy league that's humming right now. So I reached out to my man, Chad Parsons, one of the best in the biz at Under the Helmet Fantasy, and he agreed to come on as well to give us all a little quarter of the season look into the fantasy situation. If you got key injuries, who are some guys you could look at? Who are some quarterbacks that have maybe surprised us, guys that are under the radar, over the radar? So we are going to have a fantasy football discussion tonight as well with the Falcons on their bye. We'll also talk some college football. I didn't get a chance yesterday to dive into what happened with Georgia and Bama and Tech and Wake, which were both really interesting games for a number of different reasons. So we have an absolute ton to dive into tonight. And where I want to start is in the following place. Falcons fans, still want to take your calls on the bye week, 404-726-0929. And here's what I want to know. Through four games, 2-2, think about the gigantic roller coaster ride that's been this season for the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, do you believe the Atlanta Falcons are a playoff team? I need your honest answer, which I know you always give me, at 404-726-0929. Through the first 4 weeks, have you seen enough to say that I believe through the course of the next 13 games, this team will grow and develop and the foundation is there for this team to be a playoff team? We all knew what the expectations were going into the season. I had them at 11 wins. Oren had them at 10. And that's still possible at 2-2. They got a tough one coming up, obviously, with Buffalo after the bye. Then they got to go to a desperate San Francisco 49er team who's trying to hang on to their season in Santa Clara. That's not going to be easy. Both of those games, by the way, prime time. Crazy. How about that? Both of them coming out the shoot out of the bye. You go back-to-back primetime games. So what do you think? Have you seen enough right now for the Atlanta Falcons to be looked at as playoff contenders? I think there's a lot of reasons you could say yes. First and foremost, the improvement on defense. The Atlanta Falcons defense, if you look at the metrics, is among the tops in the NFL in several statistical categories. Wow. Okay. Their pass defense is close, if not at the top. They were mentioning that on the broadcast. And Marcus Mariota didn't do anything through the air to make that change. So they should still be right there. Who would have thought that? Starting two rookies on the back end in Watts and Bowman. But if you remember, Watts has a chance to have four interceptions right now because he couldn't hold on to the two early on in the season. He was right there to make it, just couldn't catch the ball, just couldn't finish the play. So he would have four interceptions right now. Billy Bowman has been great in his own right. So the improvement in the defense, if you continue to extrapolate that out over the course of the next 13 games, you have a pretty good shot of having a pretty good defense. And what did we say before the season, right? Just give me a middling Atlanta Falcons defense, and with the offense, I think they can be very, very good. So 404-726-0929. As soon as we get back from this first break, I'll take your calls on this question. After four games, from what you've seen so far, do you believe the Atlanta Falcons are a playoff team? I think there's more reasons to believe they are than they aren't, especially if the offense can repeat what they did. And that's going to be the biggest issue. The biggest thing for me about the Atlanta Falcons, and you know what I'm about to say if you've been listening, it's that C word, no, not that one, consistency. Can this team now, after the bye week, put together a consistent offensive performance to match what they did against the Commanders? If they can, they can hang in any game for the rest of the season. If they can't, it's going to be a lot more of what we've seen. Up and down and up and down. Because you need to be consistent in this league, especially offensively, to compete against the big boys. I'm sure you've heard this stat thrown out, but the Buffalo Bills are averaging 33 points a game on offense. Yes, you heard me correctly. The Buffalo Bills are averaging 33 points per game on offense. Astounding. Amazing. Remarkable. That's what happens when you have the MVP. And to be honest, his complement of weapons are not amazing. He's got some really good players. James Cook, Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman starting to round into form. He doesn't have what they had in Kansas City during those prime years. It's not the second coming of the greatest show on turf, that's for sure. But Josh Allen makes them special. And the point is that you need to be consistent in order to compete with a team like that. You need to have Sunday's performance against the Commanders be the statement and be the sample that's used as the blueprint going forward, not the outlier. Carolina needs to be the outlier. And we'll see over these next two games with really big tests. Again, Buffalo's coming in at home. And then again on primetime, back-to-back weeks, you got to go to Santa Clara and you got to play the 49ers, who are hungry and they are desperate. And they're looking at the Falcons as a game that they need to battle and compete for 60 minutes in order to secure a win. So 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Again, the question tonight is a simple one, but it's a really important one. We're on the bye week. We're examining different aspects of the team. We'll do it again tomorrow and Thursday. But right off the rip on this Tuesday, let's look big picture at the Atlanta Falcons. Have you seen enough from these four games to say that the Atlanta Falcons are a playoff team? They have it in them. They have the ability to grow and respond and bounce back and learn from everything that happened in these first four games and make it a situation where the Washington Commanders blueprint with Zach Robinson on the field and the new situation with the wide receiver room and the wide receiver coach becomes the norm and doesn't become the outlier. That's what we're looking at right now. And I do think we've seen enough. Penix has shown some really good flashes. Again, if this formula is going to work, then I think you found something that's repeatable. But that's the question. Can they be consistent? Can they repeat what they did last Sunday as their season blueprint going forward? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We'll also put up a poll on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. We are just getting started on a Tuesday. It is Chris Thomas Turtle taking you up until 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app. Taking a look at the Atlanta Falcons on the bye week. Question tonight? Simple, but interesting. Through the first 4 weeks in which we've seen a ton of up and down from this Falcons team, do you believe the Falcons have the making of a playoff team? I see we got full phone lines. We'll get right to them. If you can't get through, hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio or at CT Tonight 929 is the show page. You can find the poll on both of those accounts. Give me a follow if you haven't already to chat all things Atlanta sports. Again, after the first four games, do you believe the Falcons have the making of a playoff team? Simple question, yes or no. I think they do. I think the positives so far, despite what happened in Carolina, outweigh the negatives in terms of the potential of growth, especially for the defense. And if the offense is going to look like it did versus the Commanders, you're in business. 404-726-0929. But I certainly understand if you still need to see more. Sam's up first. Sam, you're in the game. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's going on, Turtle? I said the same thing on the morning shift as you just said now. For me, it's about consistency. I've got to see more of it, number one. Number two, I'm not saying I don't believe they are. For me, it's a matter of I've got to see more. And the second factor for me is that it's hard to really buy into the idea that this team is a playoff team when, yes, the talent is there. I do believe that while we are not a Super Bowl team, we are a team that I believe is good enough to win 10 or so games and make the playoffs. But it's hard to really believe that when you don't trust the head man running the operation. And I just simply do not trust Raheem Morse. Clock management is still an issue. We saw how he bungled the clock at the end of the first half. Luckily, he didn't come back to bite us. And I disagree with the premise you mentioned earlier that the defense played well yesterday. I think they played poorly, as a matter of fact. And while I think Ulbrich has done a very good job with this defense, considering the young pieces around it and how they have performed, especially getting pressure and getting sacks, we allowed almost 30 points to a team missing their starting quarterback and two of their starting wide receivers. There are a lot of chances in that second half where defense could have went and put that game away after the offense scored, and they made a mistake, let them right back in the game. If the offense spots you at first and 30, they should not pick that up. That led to points. Then we were late in the game after Tyler scored that touchdown. We're up 15. That fourth and three, we allow a bomb. We get right back in the game.
And well, then we Sam, let him in let the me, field goal range. Let me just end. Jump so, like, in real
really
quick.
Goes to, like, we basically, we got to close out the game.
No, and Sam.
The same thing happened week one against Tampa.
Sam, just hang on 1 second. I just feel like you got to also give credit to Mariota there. I know he was a backup, but through two games so far, stepping in for Jaden Daniels, he's looked really good. And I don't want to take that away from him just because we have bad feelings about him here in Atlanta, because he certainly wasn't good here. And I don't think anybody's going to argue that. But Sam, I think, although I agree with your premise, I think we also need to give some credit there to Mariota. I just feel like that's what needs to be done there. You know, again, it's 27. And I said this on Sunday on the flyover. Of course there's things to nitpick. Of course there's things that need to get better. Not every game is going to be perfect. But the question that I'm asking is, have you seen enough for them to make the playoffs? And I understand Sam's contention about Raheem Morris. Listen, does he leave a lot to be desired still? I think so. But I also think he's trying really damn hard. He's making a lot of adjustments. He's doing everything he can. He's moving coaches around. He's letting go of coaches he feels aren't helping. You know, they're rotating in positional guys that they feel like can help. He's trying everything. He's acting like the word that we used, which is desperate. And desperate doesn't mean bad. Desperate just means acknowledging the gravity of the situation. And I think Raheem Morris is acknowledging the gravity of the situation. I'm not saying desperate, like he's sitting at a poker table with, you know, 7-2 off suit and he's, you know, flop sweating, dripping onto the table. I'm saying he understands the magnitude and the gravity of the situation. And I think he does deserve some credit for that. Although, Sam, I do agree there are certainly things that need to be continued to be improved upon. Shari's up next. Go ahead.
Hey, Turtle. Happy to be on the line with you. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yes, I do believe that we are looking like a playoff team because I believe in this defense. Not only because they're playing well, but also, like, to bounce back in the game Sunday the way that you did after getting embarrassed and basically having your ass handed to you by the Panthers the week before, I think that speaks a lot, you know, to that defensive core, especially with all those young guys, just the fact that they were able to, like, bounce back after that. They knew, like, you know, after a shutout, even though it's not a primetime game, all eyes are on the Falcons because y'all got shut out last week. So, you know, they're not afraid of big games when a lot of eyes are on them. They played well. The defense is being coached well. You know, the offense got some stuff that they can work on, which we know. But even the best teams in the league, you know, it's always something you can work on. But they look good, so I believe it. And on top of all of that, the fact that we got wins over the Vikings and Commanders is going to help us out. Like, you can't lose sight of the big picture. That's going to help us in the end. I can see us in the playoffs.
Great call. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. 404-726-0929. Great stuff there from Shari. The defense is the key. The defense is the key. If that's going to be what we get from the defense week in and week out, that's plenty good enough. Now it's on the offense to do their part to be consistent, to Shari's point. If the defense is going to be able to week in, week out, give you on average what they've been giving you so far, you can get away with it. It doesn't need to be perfect, and you're going to have a couple of clunkers. Carolina's going to happen. It shouldn't have happened to the tune in which it did. I'm not saying that. But every team, even the best ones, have a couple of clunkers every single year. But if that offense is going to be consistent, and that's the Michael Penix Jr. we're going to see, we're in business. Daryl's up next. Daryl.
Turtle.
What's up, man?
Hey, man. The Jets. Man, my cousin, my fourth cousin, I think he's playing real good for them guys. Now we get away from that game. Definitely 10 games we're going to take care of the Falcons.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Daryl. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, the Jets and the Falcons do play this season at MetLife Stadium. After that performance last night, Oren, I mean, that should be a walkover win for the Falcons, in my opinion. Although I will say, just to be fair, Justin Fields does do damage against the Falcons. So we do need to, and he was pretty good last night. It wasn't his fault that they lost the game. He had an electric, like, 45-yard touchdown run. But they lost to the Dolphins, man, and they're 0-4. So to Daryl's point, you know, you watch the Jets on Monday Night Football, and then you look at that game and you say, well, even though it's on the road, that should probably be a win. So a check mark in the win column for the Falcons. Tony's up next. Tony.
Yeah, hey, thank you for taking my call. Yes, you said yes or no. No, we have not shown that we're a playoff-ready team. Last week, we didn't know if they would win 5 games this year. Now, all of a sudden, we're playoff ready. No way. The defense is going better. But if you look at the tape, everybody knows, throw the ball at D. Alford, number 20, because he's getting toasted, and the defense would not make the adjustment. A good team is going to beat us. The two teams we won had a rookie quarterback, 2 games in the league, and a busted-up offensive line. And how are we favored 1.5? Why? Because Jalen Daniels was out. Jalen Daniels is in there. Terry McLaurin's in there. We would not have won that game. So, no, we're not ready. I've been a Falcon fan for 50 years, and I know that until you show me some consistency, as you said, no, we're not ready to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, so no, thank you. Appreciate it, Tony. Thanks for checking in. Listen, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I'm not. I'm more optimistic than that. I like the good of what I've seen, but I'm not going to sit here and not acknowledge the bad. They were awful in Carolina. That'll go down as a top five worst performance in the NFL by any team this season. So if you don't think I'm acknowledging that, I'm acknowledging it. Especially, Oren, did you see how Carolina looked this week after that big win? Yeah, not great. That's going to go down again. So for all of y'all who think we're just pumping gas on the fire for the Falcons positivity, I'm telling you right now, that's a top five loss in the NFL this season. Not good. But what I'll also say is the ability to bounce back to the tune of 34 points last week, awesome. And I don't think anybody saw that coming. And I think if you look in totality at what the first four games have represented, you can certainly see that there's a path remaining to the playoffs. Mark is up next. Mark.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
I want to say yes so bad. I can't stand it. But as many people feel that I've heard say, it's consistency to me. I mean, I look back, and I felt like when they played Carolina, the coaches weren't prepared for what. I don't think they had a team prepared well, though.
They weren't.
And I would love to see them in the playoffs. But I love the defense is getting better. I'll admit that. But it's more of a, hey, let's see what we do in the next two games after a bye. And then I'll probably be a little bit easier to buy in.
Yeah, appreciate it. No, I think that's a completely, Mark, fair, level-headed take for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 7 years. That's why we're having the conversation, right? Because it's such an intriguing proposition. You're in the bye week. We're all looking at what the team has done so far. Another roller coaster ride. Do you think they're good enough to end the drought this year? Let's take one more before the break. Matt, finish us off. Matt.
Yeah, I think it's too early to say whether or not they're a playoff team. Right now, they're really fighting for a wild card. They're 0-2 in the division. So it's kind of an uphill battle to get a division title at this point. You got to basically win out if you're going to get a shot at that. And then the teams they've beaten, you've beaten McCarthy, you've beaten Mariota. I've still got to see them beat a franchise quarterback before I can really believe they're a playoff team. But not saying they're not, but they've still got to prove it.
Yeah, Matt, it's again, just like Mark completely and Tony, all y'all that are calling in saying either no or just not yet, that's completely fine. That's why we're having the conversation, because this is a reflection point in the middle of the season. You got the early bye. You had two really dramatic wins and two really dramatic losses. Where does this leave you as a Falcons fan feeling right now about the state of the team and their chances at ending the playoff drought? Great stuff on the phones. We'll take more of your calls later on. When we get back, Joe Patrick, boots on the ground. How did he see things play out on Sunday, and what's next for this team as they ramp up for Buffalo starting next week? It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10 o'clock. Yes, what a difference a week makes. Now this sultry sound permutates your ears, and we bask in the glory of a Falcons win, especially a win coming off of the loss that they had in Carolina. To break all that down, our intrepid Falcons reporter, Joe Patrick, in his weekly spot with me here. Make sure you follow Joe Patrick on football for the latest on the Falcons nearly every single day, wherever you get your podcast. Joe, how you feeling after this one, my friend? Can we just take a deep breath and just acknowledge that just felt good, my friend? It just felt good.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Chris. I mean, that song feels so much more appropriate this week. It felt wrong to play it last week. But, yeah, I mean, like, this is the week where you blast that song out the car, out the car window. You roll it down. You kind of just cruise in this nice sunny weather we've got here this evening on a lovely evening, and just relax after a nice easy breezy Falcons win. It's kind of funny, Chris, that the team is 2-2 right now going into the bye with two wins, I think, against the in the games that I think coming into the season you would have chalked up as most likely the two losses if you were to have predicted the team to be 2-2 at this point. So kind of funny how it's all turned out, but considering everything that's happened, I think that you'll probably take it if you're a Falcons fan at this point.
what were the biggest differences you saw with the offense?
Oh, I mean, you know, it was just a lot sharper execution, first of all. I mean, I know that is a very lame thing to say, because you can just say that anytime the offense performs better, but it's true. Like, you know, Michael Penix was much more accurate with his throws. So much boils down to that, frankly, and just how much a quarterback being on or off on a given day can really affect the whole thing. And not to say that there weren't like some, you know, aspects of the Falcons that contributed to Michael Penix playing poorly, but I do think that obviously he had a much improved performance. I think one of those things that helped him play better, though, Chris, was the fact that the offensive operation was cleaner. And it sounds like, having talked to the players in the locker room after the game, that Zach Robinson being on the field contributed to that improved offensive operation. And not just the fact they didn't take penalties and or waste timeouts in that respect, but it felt like the play was getting in a lot sooner. I know they tried to kind of downplay that at the time coming out of that Carolina game, but I have to think that that was clearly, an objective for them going into this one, was to get to the line quicker so that Penix could have some more time to assess things. And I would just say, from a kind of tactical, if we are going to approach this from a tactical perspective, I think getting Drake London in the slot was really important. He spent more percentage. He had a higher percentage of slot snaps in this game on passing downs than he has any time this season. And maybe it may be the highest percentage of slot snaps in his career. I have to go back and look, but he was in the slot 50% of the time in this game. He averaged 39% slot snaps in games last season. And interestingly enough, Chris, he was in the slot 18.6% of the time against Carolina. That is among the lowest of his career outside of his rookie year. So maybe one of the reasons why they wanted to make a change in that receiver room, to make sure that they were getting their players in the best positions on the field. And I think you can't really argue with the results after one game.
How much of a difference do you think it makes that in the two games that they couldn't run the ball, the opposition had Derrick Brown and Vita Vea?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And I give A'shaun Robinson some credit. You know, he kind of gets under-talked about because Derrick Brown is so good there in Carolina, but he had some big stops against them too. And yeah, Vita Vea is obviously a tough opponent to try to move. And, you know, maybe the Falcons were a little, I don't know if naive is too strong a word, but in thinking that they could just kind of run the ball up the middle, kind of at him and win in some of those situations. You know, obviously they were much improved in the run game. I think that it also helped, you know, we talked about Drake London, some of the, you know, just getting players in the best positions to succeed, you know, and Drake London is his slot snaps. I thought the team was better in the run game in this game, not just because they were just force feeding the ball to Bijan, but because they were actually getting Tyler Algier involved. And I thought that we saw them kind of get in that rhythm of kind of both of them being in the game. Obviously, Algier used a little bit more toward the end of the game, but I think that that's a great opportunity to use him when you've kind of softened up that defense a little bit and he can run at those guys with the full head of speed that he's got, and he can really deliver the blows we saw on that touchdown run. But I think that it's, you know, both of those guys contributing. And I thought that schematically the team was just really interesting with the way that they were mixing and matching some personnel groups to you know, get the best opportunities to run at this Washington defense. I wonder if it's something they could potentially do going forward.
Just how impressive have the two youngsters in the secondary been, Bowman and Watts?
Yeah, you know, this whole rookie class has really, you know, stood out and been the impact group that I think that we expected. But I think I think that at least we knew that they needed them to be impact players if this team was going to be successful. And I think the way that they're performing is kind of it coincides with also the Falcons defense just kind of being better than I think a lot of people thought they would be, especially this early on in the season. And those players have played a big role in it. And it's no surprise that how do I say this? Like the only way the Falcons defense was going to be as good as they've been so far was if these two players were playing as big of a role as they have been. And it's great that we've seen both of them really contribute in the takeaway phase of the game, which was something that, you know, the team kind of always says they want to be a focus, but I don't know how you can actually do that. It's more just a matter of the skill sets and traits that these players have coming to the fore when they're out there. And I think we see the ball hawking nature of both of these players, and especially Xavier Watts. You know, last year with Justin Simmons back there, in that defensive secondary, just didn't quite have the athleticism at this point in his career. And I think that showed several times. It cropped up last season in a painful way for the Falcons. And I think that right now we're just seeing a player in Xavier Watts who just has more mobility, literally just a rangier player in that position. And I think also in Jeff Ulbrich's scheme, he's just not asking too much of these guys. He's giving them very, to borrow Raheem Morris-ism, some role clarity and just some very, simple instructions. And they go out there and, to quote Jeff Ulbrich, use their superpowers. And that's exactly what we're seeing out of all these guys.
Now that Caden Ellis has an equally athletic defender next to him in Divine Diablo, Joe, how special has it been to watch those two as a tandem?
Yeah, it's been interesting, Chris, because I kind of put it out there during training camp. I put a tweet out saying that I felt like Divine Diablo was going to impress people. I didn't know that he was going to be as impressive as he has been through these four games. And I say that because you could just see the size on it. I mean, he is big, he's tall, he's long for a linebacker. And you can see, and he's also well built. He's a strong guy. And I think that he's obviously built up that strength, having been a converted safety as he was when he was in college at Virginia Tech. And you can just see, it was that combined with the way that Raheem Morris and some of these defensive coaches would talk about him and talk about how smart he was, talking about how he's a guy who can wear the green dot. Obviously, Caden Ellis does that. But these two have really created a great tandem, and they're both very versatile linebackers, and that allows Jeff Ulbrich to do so many different things with regards to, blitzing, showing blitz and bailing out of it. But we've seen, we know that Caden Ellis is a linebacker that really excels at rushing the passer. But it can be even more effective when you can, challenge an offensive line by, stemming Caden Ellis down, making him look like he's going to blitz, but then he backs out and then Divine Diablo comes on the blitz or vice versa. But just the fact that both those linebackers are so versatile and interchangeable in what they can do, I think it really gets the best out of both of them. And obviously, kind of to the point that we've been talking about, they're obviously a key reason why the Falcons defense is, statistically one of the best defenses in football right now, which is just insane to even think about, considering we were talking about them needing to be basically league average. They've been well above that to this point.
Yeah, and to the tune of, I heard Ian Eagle and J.J. Watts say that the Falcons had the number one pass defense in the NFL entering the game. I was like, what? I was like, but then you go back. Even in the losses, J.J. McCarthy didn't do anything. Bryce Young didn't do anything. Marcus Mariota didn't do anything. So in three out of the four games, even in a loss, the quarterbacks didn't do anything through the air. I mean, that's really what it comes down to as we're talking all things.
And Chris, even in that Tampa Bay game, you wonder if that wasn't the first game of the season, if Xavier Watts is actually coming away with a couple of those picks where he was really close, and they obviously dropped several more. It wasn't just him. There were other players involved as well. You wonder if that game happens again, if they wouldn't have a lot more success against that Tampa Bay offense. So it is a very good offense.
Well, to your point, I've been, pounding the table on this. If he hangs on to those two balls, he'd have four picks right now through his first four games. As we're talking with Joe Patrick, Falcons insider here, 92.9 The Game. Check out Joe Patrick on Football, the podcast, for all your Falcons info. How shocked are you to see Romo kick again?
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, I think they had to bring in competition to kind of light that fire again and keep that fire going. I think that competition will be something that probably, just sustains for quite a while. But wasn't surprised, especially, basically it was locked in on Friday once we saw that Ben Sauls, the kicker who they picked up and put on their practice squad, was not an elevation, that Parker Romo was going to be the kicker. And, he made his kick. I don't know if he really proved anything in that game. I mean, there were chip shot field goals that he made. And so, but it's good to get the confidence, of just having made the kicks. And we'll see when he is in a more of a pressure packed situation, how he does. But I would expect him to continue to be the kicker going forward. I would say, though, Chris, just even beyond the kicking aspect, the special teams is something that I think that is still in need of refinement. It just feels inconsistent, whether it's the coverage units or the return units making mistakes here and there. And I hate it for Marquise Williams because he's a special teams coach, and it feels like some of the mistakes that are being made, it's hard to really chalk them up too much to coaching. It just feels like, you know, when a player is dropping kickoffs on return units, or you've got, you know, a 23-yard punt, or, you know, missed kicks even, like, I don't, you know, there's only so much the special teams coach can do. Not to say it's been perfect on that front, but I think that, you know, again, like kind of like with Penix last week in the offense, it's part coaching, it's part execution by the players, and so they're just going to need to get that tidied up. I will say, though, you know, I would expect Troy Anderson to be coming off of PUP at some point, you know, in the middle of this season. And I think, you know, for as much as he may be a disappointment in terms of the injuries and just really kind of not fulfilling what he could have been as a player in that respect, I do think that he could be one of the best special teams players in the NFL. He's got that incredible ability to run and tackle in space. And so I think that the units can be much improved, many of the units, when he returns.
Before I let you go, what do you know about the schedule for the next few days? Because it's a while. I mean, going from playing on a Sunday to not playing until the next Monday night football game is a long time off.
Yeah, yeah. So I believe the way that Raheem Morris was talking suggested that the players would still be around the facility, not just yesterday, but also today. And then basically now, by the time now that we're talking, they've left the facility, and now their vacation basically starts. And, you know, they went back to the facility where they were given some guidelines by their coaches, by their performance staff, of things they needed to be doing and maintaining their bodies while they were on break. You know, when to get lifts in, what they need to be doing on their lifts and their training, because they still will be asked to do that just on their own time while they're on vacation, or, you know, maybe just hanging out at home since it's so early in season, whatever they choose to do. And so they will be gone. You know, maybe we see them at their alma maters potentially, if that's something they would like to do over the weekend, at, you know, during for a college football weekend, and they will have the weekend off. And then I would imagine they'd be back to work probably on Wednesday, but it could be even later. We haven't gotten the media schedule yet for what it looks like. Usually on, if you're playing on Monday, basically everything is bumped back a day, as you would think. So the normal big day on Wednesday would be on Thursday, but I would think that they'll be around middle of next week. So they get a full week off. It just, that full week hasn't really started until right now.
Appreciate it as always, Joe. We'll talk to you next week as we get set for Buffalo. Should be a very interesting matchup.
Yes, and yes, indeed. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, that is our own Joe Patrick there. When we get back, let's do something on this show, Oren, we haven't done in a long time, and that's talk about the Braves. It's been a long time, but Grant McCauley is going to stop by next to put a bow on the Braves season. And hello, Brian Snicker. Are we managing the team next year, or what's the dealio with that? Before we get out of here, I want to remind you to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react to every Falcons game, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover, immediately following every Falcons game this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And it's hosted by yours truly. We're back with Grant McCauley next.